Paid for by IMIC Incorporated.
The Cure with Amy Cabo is brought to you by IMIC Research. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Cure. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, and this show deals with trauma and healing. Now, I just wanted to start off with letting you guys know today we're going to be talking about some of the things that happen, what you can do about it, and how you can actually turn it around, grow from it, and learn from it, and just carry on and go forward. I'm also joined by Dr. Boris Nikolov, who is my husband, and I thought that it would be nice if he can give the perspective of the support system, your loved ones, because they too go through the things that you go through, and perhaps, you know, you guys can learn some things from each other. I do welcome the people who have loved ones who have been through a trauma or are going through a hard time and are going to pain through pain to call in. Because I do believe that we can help one another. And how I did this, I started out by coming forward and sharing my story that I am a survivor of a long-term childhood sexual, emotional, and physical abuse. I have also survived being re-victimized and domestic violence. And I want you all to know that with God's help, I found true love, became a mother of three, and persevered to the point to success. Never give up hope. And one of the very important things in my life that has helped me has been my support system. God has been very good to me because I never lost hope. And I wanted to be able to talk about my story so I can empower others to do the same in a way that I'm telling just a story, something that I'm not ashamed of, that I don't feel guilty about, because I no longer want to be a prisoner of my past. I learned that if people do talk about it and they talk to one another, there's many things that we can learn from each other. And also people who are listening can understand somebody who's gone through hard times even better. I actually went to a website in Facebook, and it's a website for CPTSD, Survivors of Childhood Abuse / Domestic Violence. And I learned that people do share their stories, and they do respond. And there's some things that I cannot understand that I read today that really, really made an impression on me. Somebody struggling, going through a lot of pain, and she's having thoughts of cutting herself because she'd rather feel physical pain than emotional pain. Now, I'm no professional. I can only speak from experience. I don't know what that's like. I've never tried to cut myself. But I know what it's like to go through extreme pain. I know what it's like to try to self-medicate with drugs and do them so much to the point that you hope you overdose. I know what it's like to feel so much in pain that you can't stand any waking moment and all you want to do is sleep. Just know that I've learned to be patient. I know that whatever I'm going through, no matter how hard my day is, that too will pass. If nothing else helps, I try to accept it. Just like a diabetic, they have to accept doing a certain diet. They'd love to eat whatever they want, but they have to do a certain diet. And I've learned to accept it, that this is my life. There'll be good days and there'll be bad days, but I take one day at a time. I take the good with the bad, and I promise you, my blessings outweigh my misfortunes. I also have the privilege of having those around me that help me. And and our support system to me. But there's people that don't have that. There's people that don't have a support system. There's people that are all alone. Well, I want them to know that they're never alone, that God is always with them, that God will always listen. God will always show you a way or give you the strength that you need. God always provides. If you feel like you're never enough, just know that wherever you fall short, God picks up the rest. He will always provide. God forgives us as many times as we need to. Even if we foul, even if we fumble, even if we don't get it right. The idea is that we keep trying, and we try and try again. Eventually, something's bound to give. And just know always that God does not give us anything we can't handle. As hard as we may think it is, it's always something that God knows we can handle, because God is kind like that, even though the devil's not. And know that through your struggles, you can become a better person. You can give back. There's always a reason to live, whether it's to love someone, to love your children, to make a difference in the world, to be there for a friend, to be kind to others, or even the responsibility of a mother, the things that the mothers do for their children. And I have to tell you that my kids were my saving grace. In the first 7 years of single motherhood, most of the things that I did right, I did for my daughter. Because I realize that as much as I want to feel sorry about myself, it's not really about me. I have to think about others and how I could be affecting others. And I couldn't let my little girl see me broken or down or not making it. But just to let you know, it's okay to be broken. And it's okay to feel bad. And it's okay to feel like you're hurt. Because it will pass. It always does. The worst that happens, if nothing works, I turn to prayer. I turn to music. I try to get busy. I clean. Because I feel that if I clean, I'm making the house clean for everyone. So therefore, I'm doing something for someone. I find great fulfillment in doing things for others. And if nothing else works, I just simply go to sleep. When I wake up, things will be different. A lot of times they'll be better. If anything at all, another day always comes. The sun always rises. So, Boris, tell me, how has it been for you?
Oh, it's been nice. And the house is very clean. Well, thank you for having me. That was kind of a surprise for me because, you know, that was not the plan. But, okay, I can be your guest. So, what do you think it's the most bothering for you after all this trauma? Like, would you consider yourself having a complex post-traumatic stress disorder?
Well, I think what was most difficult for me, even though I came to accept what had happened to me, I think that what was most difficult was how long I went through the hard times and how long I suffered. Mostly the custody battles, being taken to court 3 to 4 times a year, being sued for sole custody when my daughter was the only thing I had. But only God knows how long it takes for you to become the person you're supposed to be, the person you're meant to be, and the person we all know we can be, because we're all made in the likeness of Christ, and we can be pretty special people, every single one of you.
That's true.
And just to let you know, sometimes when we do talk about things, when we do write things down, it may be difficult. It may hurt, but we're helping each other. And just like a burn that has to be scraped for it to heal, or a wound that has to be irrigated, cleaned for it to heal, sometimes being broken is necessary for healing. And just because you're broken doesn't mean you're defeated. Even though suicide attempts did not work, you're alive for a reason. You've survived. Therefore, you're a success. So I encourage anyone that has gone through trauma or has gone through hard times, just realize that you're a success because you're alive, you're here. You create the script and you play the role. You can be in control of your destiny. All you have to do is believe in a greater purpose. Believe in something bigger than you. Believe that there's a bigger picture and that we're not meant to suffer. We're meant to learn from things that we go through.
I'm very proud of you. Yes.
Thank you. I give it all the thanks to God. But it's important to also love yourself, because a lot of the times when somebody is a victim, they tend to feel guilty. They tend to hate themselves. At least I know that was my biggest struggle. For a long time, I did not feel that I was worthy, that I was good enough. I felt like I was children of a lesser God, that what had happened to me for some reason made me handicapped. And it took me a while to realize that it didn't, that I'm just as capable of everyone else. And I learned to love myself by changing my actions. I started praying, and eventually I started thinking differently. I changed my actions. I learned to react to things better. I learned to talk about things. I learned to let go. I learned to forgive myself.
Nice.
For not doing everything right or not doing everything perfect, because we tend to be hard on ourselves.
It's important not to expect too much. Correct.
And to just accept yourself the way you are.
Yes.
Even if it's not ideal or it's not like everyone else.
How is this thing? One day at a time?
Well, everyone's unique. It's okay to be unique. It's okay to be different. You just have to accept yourself and stay close to God by doing the right actions. And most of all, trust Him. There's no reason to be afraid. God always said He'd be with us. So you have to trust Him. Because I could have been afraid when I married you, Boris.
Oh,
only
very
having
scary.
Known you for a few days in 3 months. But, you know, God gave me my sign. And I could have been afraid, you know, with all those custody battles and not knowing if I would lose my daughter over and over again. But I trusted God. I knew that He was with me. At least He's the only one I had in my life. I could have been afraid when I almost lost Danielle. Somebody tried to kill her from a roommate that she got from Craigslist.
Yeah, that was scary.
I could have been afraid then too. But I put it in the hands of God. Know that God wants to help you. And if there's things you feel that you cannot handle, you could always put it in the hands of God.
Yes, that's important.
Actually, Boris, you weren't very spiritual when I met you, were you?
Wow, revealing secrets here. Okay, so what can you do? That's true. I kind of embraced God more after we got married. You showed it to me, actually. It's funny how things go, but yeah.
Nice. And just for those who are tuning in, this is The Cure, and I'm your host, Amy Cabo, joined by Dr. Boris Nikolov. We've been talking about the consequences of trauma. You can listen to The Cure every Friday at 2 p.m. on 880 a.m. The Biz. This is your host, Amy Cabo.
You can be whole again. Scars doesn't change who's you are. You're worthy. You're beautifully broken.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals from a very sincere and honest position Amy Cabo's life, a warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on www.godisthecure.com or buying her book on amazon.com. And now we continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure on 880 The Biz.
Welcome back to the show. For those that are just tuning in, this is The Cure, and I'm your host, Amy Cabo. Today we're talking about trauma and healing, and we were talking about some of the traumas that happened. But I wanted to share with you guys an inspirational story about somebody who was able to overcome her trauma and came through. And I found this on Facebook. I want to share this with you guys.
I may always be known as the girl that was kidnapped. The day that it happened, he'd broken into my home. He had taken me out my back door, taken me up into the mountains behind my home. And almost the first thing he did when he brought me into camp was he had his wife come out and he had her change me, and she tried to sponge bathe me. And then she stepped away and he came in. And that's when he told me that I was now his wife, and that it was now time to consummate our marriage. Well, as a 14-year-old girl, I remember just stopping and thinking, wait a second. And I had this thought of what he could possibly mean. I had it come to my mind. I remember thinking, no, that's not possible. One human being couldn't possibly do that to another one. No one's that evil. And I quickly found out that, yes, as a matter of fact, there are people out there that are that evil. And the morning after I was rescued, my mom gave me the best piece of advice I've ever been given. And I'd always listened to my mom's advice. I'd always tried to follow it. I fall short of it probably far too often. She said, Elizabeth, what these people have done to you is terrible. And there aren't words strong to describe how wicked and evil they are. They have stolen 9 months of your life away from you that you will never get back. But the best punishment you could ever give them is to be happy, is to move forward with your life, to do all the things that you want to do, because by feeling sorry for yourself, by holding on to the past, by reliving in it, that's only allowing them to steal more of your life away from you. And they don't deserve that. They don't deserve a single second more. So you need to be happy and you need to move on with your life. And I remember leading up to the trial, I was actually very nervous to see my captors again. I hadn't seen them in person since the day I was rescued. And I didn't know how I was going to react. They brought Brian Mitchell into the room, and he still had his long beard and his long hair, but he was shackled with his hands around his waist and his feet. And there were two guards on either side of him, escorting him into the courtroom. And I realized in that moment that I had followed my mom's advice, that I didn't need to be scared of what he would make me feel, because I realized that he had no power over me anymore. And I remember how empowering that felt to me. On the last day of the trial, when the verdict came in that he was found guilty, I remember the judge looking at me and asking me if I had anything to say to him. And I do remember just standing up and saying that he had no further hold on me, that he never would, and that I was going to live a wonderful life. And if I didn't say that in words, I certainly thought that. I realized that forgiveness is not for the other person, it's for yourself. Life is so worthwhile, and no matter what has happened to you, no matter what your background is, no matter what your past is, each of us deserve to be happy. Bad things do happen, but that doesn't mean that they need to define us or to destroy our life. And yes, I may always be known as the girl that was kidnapped, but that's okay, because I know that that's not all who I am. That happened to me, but I have not let that stop me from going on, getting married, having a family, becoming an advocate for change, becoming an advocate for women and children, and really all victims. We have things that happen to us, and yes, they shape us, they mold us, but they don't have to define us, because in the end, What defines you is how you react, are the decisions that you make. So I hope that whatever you're faced with, whatever you deal with, you just remember that you are who you decide to be. You are captain of your destiny. You are the one that decides who you are.
Guys, did you guys hear that? That was Elizabeth Smart, and she's known as the girl that got kidnapped. And she's an inspirational speaker, making a difference in the world. And that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. Sometimes a difficult thing or a tragedy can turn into a blessing in disguise. You can actually make something great from it. You can help someone else. If anything at all, at the very least, you can be understanding. You can be compassionate. So don't feel that because you've been through something or because something bad has happened to you, you're less than anybody else or there's nothing you can do. Know that you're special in a way that you've survived it, in a way that you're now capable of helping others. And that's the whole idea. I just realized, I was just told we have a call that came in, and I believe we're going to call her Janice. Janice, are you on the phone?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Hi, how are you, Janice? Welcome to The Cure.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. I really appreciate it. That's very brave of you. Tell me a little bit about your story and, you know, your success, because, you know, you made it. You're here today and you're speaking to me.
It was my hard work. It was really a lot of hard work. But, yes, because I was listening to your radio station last week. You know how you were talking about blockage and in a way, you know, I don't know how to describe it, but let me tell you my story. How did my rape happen?
Okay.
I was young. I got pregnant a year after I got out of high school. Okay. My ex-husband or boyfriend at the time, baby's father, was into drugs, womanizing, and alcohol. Okay. He took off with my money. He took everything I got, and I ended up getting. I ended up having to stay at a project housing, okay, and I was working one night. I came home about 11 o'clock, and the apartment manager was already in my house, in my room, and I had my daughter in my hand, and he grabbed the rope, put the rope around my neck and tied me up like a hog. And he grabbed my daughter, threw her in the bathroom. I don't know if he raped her or what, but my daughter was screaming like, you know, Bloody Mary, Mommy, Mommy, help me. And I couldn't do nothing because I was tied up. Okay, so he you know, raped me and then pulled my daughter out of the room. And he said if I said something to anybody, he was going to kill her rather by the neck. And then I can't remember how long it was, but I can remember when he said he untied me. Me and my daughter was laying in bed. I went to the neighbors, knocked on the door. I didn't call 911 because I was never taught. You know, it took me a while to figure it out. But they didn't help me. They just looked at me. They shut the door, and then next morning they were gone. So I never reported. I never called nobody because I was embarrassed. And all I can remember is taking a shower, and no family checked up on me for weeks and stuff like that. And then he kept coming back.
I'm really sorry, then, Janice. I'm really, really sorry.
And then about a month later, oh, I was going to do laundry with my daughter, and a bunch of other women was in the apartment. They were meeting there, and they all told their story. They were all getting raped by the apartment manager and the kids. Okay.
I hope that apartment manager was taken care of.
Oh, he was but he was let go after 5 months, less than 5 years. But I'll get there. But what happened was, a lady across the apartment that somebody else lived in, she was 87 years old, she was in the womb, and I heard her screaming that the apartment manager was in there, was raping her. And then the ladies meet up again. They said, well, they called somebody, and the Department of Justice. So they came in, they got involved, and they wanted me to tell the story. So they said they all made this pact that we're all going to, report them and everything. And so when the time of the trial, everybody disappeared, and I got stuck.
I'm so sorry, Janice. And I just want you to know that you're in my prayers.
Thank you. And like you said, it is a blockage because I had the hardest time. On top of that, it's because of my disability. Because if anybody is familiar with dyslexic and time schedule and numbers, it was hard for me to tell the story because it was always different because the time concept. And it's like you said, when you and it was overwhelming. And when you go through a trauma, you get you're blocked out, you know, and all you can feel is like you're horrible, like you're dirty, and it was your fault. You allow it to happen.
I understand, you know? Janice. We always blame ourselves, and we have to understand that it was something that was done to us, and they don't deserve to hurt us the way that they have.
And then you feel like you live, you try to pay for your sin because my
It wasn't your sin, Janice. It wasn't your sin. It was something that was done to you. But
for the longest time, and when I see my daughter, she's older now, but she struggles and she suffers. And it's true what you said. Because she used to be a really smart, happy girl. Now she's into anxiety. She can't get married because certain ways guy touch her, she freaks out. And then
are you guys getting therapy or taking medication for the depression?
But I don't know, I thought it was over, but sometimes it's hard to talk about it. It's still hard. They say you're over it. You get over it is when you were able to. I'm able to start talking about it. For the longest time, I couldn't talk about it. I blocked it out. You know, I still have nightmares at times. I don't sleep in the dark. I'm afraid of the dark. And my daughter has the same anxiety as me.
Well, I did suffer for a long time until one day I felt that enough is enough. You know, there's only so long that I'm willing to suffer. And I need to do something about this. And I'm going to try to make my life right. And I'm going to try to be there for myself and for others. But not everybody has the ability to do that. That's why we always have to pray for one another. But Janice, I'm so sorry that you've gone through this. And I just want to let you know that you can contact me. You have a friend. I'll be there for you. And thank you so much for calling us and sharing your story. But please do look into seeing a psychiatrist or a therapist that can help you and your daughter.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janice. Have a beautiful day.
You too. Bye.
And now we continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure on 880 The Biz.
We are back. Thanks for joining us. This is The Cure, and I'm your host, Amy Cabo. We've been talking about the common consequences of trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, known as PTSD. And we just received a call a little while ago that was pretty shocking. It's hard to believe that people could go through these things. And that's one of the things that I wanted to point out, that if you feel bad of what's happened to you, if you feel like what's happened to you is bringing you down, it's good to hear to someone else's story. Because I can't imagine being raped and my daughter being raped in the same room. I can't imagine going through that. And of all that I've gone through, and I've gone through a lot, I can't imagine that. That must have been very difficult. And I am going to pray for her, and I hope that she finds God, because I did try therapy, and I did try medication, and I tried ketamine, and I tried transcranial magnetic therapy, and I've tried the strongest medications. I was a guinea pig for medications, and I would try all the new medications, and nothing really worked until I turned to God. And now I do things right because I know it brings me closer to God, because I know that I can keep a close relationship with God as long as my behavior is correct, my actions are good, and I do the right thing. And every day I make it count, because I believe if you're going to do something, do it right and make every day count. We're only here for so long, so let's try to make the best of it. But Dr. Boris Nikolov would like to share some information with you, because I do believe that most of us that have suffered from trauma do suffer from PTSD.
Well, yes. After trauma, there is a condition that can come that is called post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. And yes, it's not common only in people that have gone to war, soldiers, veterans, but it can happen if you experience a traumatic event in your life, such as rapes, natural disaster, even a car accident. Now, when you go through more severe and more persistent trauma in your life, like consistent child abuse or consistent rapes many times through the many months or many years, this can convert into something which we start calling complex post-traumatic stress disorder.
Which is chronic abuse.
Which is developed by chronic abuse. And it is a more severe form of the PTSD, and comes from repeated trauma over months or years rather than one episode. And now the symptoms of PTSD can be many, but the most popular ones are reliving the traumatic experience. This can include having nightmares or flashbacks, avoiding certain situations. You might avoid situations or activities, such as being in large crowds or driving, that remind you of the traumatic event, or dark rooms, such was having the lady. This was include keeping yourself preoccupied to avoid thinking about the event. Sometimes there can be changes in beliefs and feelings about yourself and others.
Yeah, you start to believe negative things. You start to develop negative coping mechanisms. You tend to self-sabotage.
Right, and you are not able to trust others or believe the world is very dangerous. Well, it might be, or you think that nothing can happen to you. You can also have somatic symptoms, like purely physical symptoms, pain, for example, or you might feel dizzy or nauseated. Now, this complex PTSD has additional symptoms besides that, that can be lack of emotional regulation, for example, which is you can experience uncontrollable feelings, such as explosive anger or ongoing sadness that can be mistaken by a chronic depression. Or you can be experiencing forgetfulness of the traumatic event, or blocking it, or feeling detached from your emotions or body, which can be called a dissociation, like you feel like you're floating. You can also have negative self-perception, as you said, Amy. You can feel guilt or shame of what happened, even though it wasn't your fault, to the point that you feel completely different from other people and you don't want to be around other people. You can have, because of that, difficulty with relationships. So you might find yourself avoiding relationship with friends or with people around you because you mistrust them. And you can also have loss of systems of meaning that you think that nothing can help you, or you turn to religion or beliefs about the world.
Well, you can feel defeated, and there's many consequences to trauma and things that we go through. And like Elizabeth Smart, she had a beautiful mother that gave her the best advice that she can give anyone. And the advice that I can give from personal experience is that despite all the ramifications and despite all the consequences of all the things that I've gone through, what really worked for me was turning to God when I realized God's unconditional love for me, when I took notice of all my blessings, when I realized that, you know, God was always there for me, that I was never alone. Then I felt that all I wanted to do was pay it forward, pray, be there for others, do the right thing, not disappoint those around me, not to worry those around me. I started realizing it wasn't about me, that those around me deserved for me to be happy, and I deserved for me to be happy.
Yes.
But also I wanted to share from that something that I found called God's Love Letter. It's actually phrases derived from the Bible because it has the numbers of where you can find it. But it's a love letter that actually helped me a lot at times that I found most darkest.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and He is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is His love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. as a shepherd carries a lamb. I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad. Almighty God.
Yes, God is always there for us. And isn't that so true? Even though I've never read the Bible, it's all written in the Bible. But guys, we've come to another close. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much to Janice, who called, my guest on the show, and those who have submitted questions. This is The Cure. I'm your host, Amy Cabo. Thank you for listening to us on 880 AM The Biz.
Thought I'd end up with Shine, but it wasn't a match. Wrote some songs about Ricky, now I listen and laugh. Even almost got married, and for Pete I'm so thankful. Wish I could say thank you to Malcolm, 'cause he was an angel. One taught me love, one taught me patience, and one taught me pain.
Searching, and all that I say, thank you, thank you, thank you.
situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals from a very sincere and honest position Amy Cabo's life, a warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on www.godisthecure.com or buying her book on amazon.com. The Cure with Amy Cabo was brought to you by IMIC Research, 786-310-7477 or www.godisthecure.com. Tune in every Friday at 2 p.m. for The Cure with Amy Cabo right here on 880 The Biz.